Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening to each and every one of you. You are now listening to the Monday Night Avon Motivational Radio Show. And each week we have guests on our show, whether they are district leaders or fellow Avon representatives, and even business coaches, to help you as Avon representatives take your Avon business to the next level. I don't have to remind anyone, I know this week we are busy getting our orders in, and if you don't have an order for this week, no worries, as they say in text form, just order your books, because if you don't order your books, then it's going to be, you'll come up to a point where you're not going to have books to show your clients. So at least order books if you do not have an order. Okay, so with that being said, we have John, and John is no stranger to the Monday Night Radio call. And so I'm going to plug him in right away so we don't miss not a second of his golden nuggets in which he would like to share with us. So, John, do you hear me?
Yes, I do. Pat, good evening.
Good evening. I'm so glad to have you back on the show. I know we didn't have a chance to finish up everything that we were talking about the last call. We kind of went over. So I know that was one thing we had planned to do today, was to just go over those things that we had missed. And then I gave you a topic the other day, and for some reason, and the topic is looking to meet our achievements and then building upon it. Because sometimes people, they set goals for themselves, as you well know, John, when they first started, their little business, and they're really excited about their business. And sometimes their goals are not very big, and sometimes they're very grandiose. But for those who have, had moderate goals, once they reach that goal, do they build upon that to advance their career, their business, to the next level? So those are two things we're going to talk about. We're going to continue the discussion from last time, because we didn't have enough time, and to talk about building upon our achievements.
That's a great point, Pat. That's an awesome question. That's something that people ask me a lot, no matter if it's business oriented or whatever. Like I just got done doing my fourth marathon event last Sunday in San Diego at 11:03 in the morning, and I won't tell you what time I was up to do that, puppy. But I bring that up because people ask me about goals and things, and it always reminds me when Apollo 11 came back to the moon in July of 1969. Once you've been to the moon, what else is there? And so, the thing is it's like if you got to the top of your game or your top of the mountain in Avon, I mean, what would there be next? There would have to be something. And that's what it all comes down to is, after I got done with the half marathon 11:03 last Sunday morning, Pacific time, I knew there had to be something else. There already was, because I'd already been planning on doing something else this year. I'm all about goals. I'm all about, to me, I wish my middle initial was A instead of D, but it's all about accomplishments, A for accomplishments, because it's all about accomplishing things and having goals. This year is my year of three-peats. My first three-peat was to do my third event for Leukemia Society of America, which was concluded last Sunday. And after listening to one of my teammates, he he kind of inspired me. His daughter's in remission from leukemia, and he's done several events on the cycling team, and now he's on the marathon team. Hold on a second.
Sir?
So he's done several events, and so to him it's a lifetime achievement, it's a lifetime goal to continue with not just doing one or two or ten seasons, it's a lifetime thing, and that kind of carried over to me. So got me motivated after I got done last Sunday with the season. It's like, okay, I talked to my coach, and he's an assistant coach on the triathlon team, and I told him at dinner last Sunday night that, okay, I want to sign up for the next season for the triathlon, which is in September, and it's not a big race, but it's my first triathlon. Once I've done the marathon, okay, I've already done marathons. That was my next goal. Well, I've always wanted to do a triathlon, and so that's my next thing is to do that in September. And it just happens to be that I'll be raising money again for leukemia. So I've already raised $10,000. I've already hit that. Life is a series of mileposts, and $10,000 is a milepost that I've already hit, and the next one will be $15,000. And that,
wow,
to me is what it's all about, is continuing to hit those mileposts along the way. So imagine your life is a journey. So think of your life as a freeway. Okay, it's like you guys are over on the East Coast, the right coast. So you guys have Interstate 95, and it goes from Florida to Canada. So just imagine yourself on that freeway. You know, every exit is a mile, and at every milepost is another goal for you. Continue that. You hit one, okay, you don't stop. You got to keep on going. Life is a journey. Life is not a destination. It's a journey, Pat. And that's the thing, is you just got to keep on going. And yeah, and for most people, it works. It works for them. It's like, you know, you hit one, got to keep going. You do the marathon, you do a second one, you do a half marathon, you do another one. Okay, now you're done with doing long distance races. You know, try something else. Okay, then you go on to doing triathlons, which is swim, bike, and run all in one day. It's about a two and a half hour deal. You get done with that, you do maybe a longer one, but you keep on going. You keep on sending you, because it stretches you as a person. It makes you a better person. It helps your waistline. It helps your heart. It helps you no matter what you're doing. And that's what I'm doing. That's why I'm not stopping. I could stop. I could have stopped last Sunday. But you know, the cool thing is, one of the things I've got a whole bunch of notes. And if anybody wants my notes so that they don't, like I talked about the last time, they don't have to take copious notes, you can send me an email and put in the subject line, put notes. You can send it to theonholdguy@gmail.com. You know, you want to make your email address really simple for people to remember who you are and what you do. Not like your first initial and your last name and a bunch of numbers. Nobody's ever going to remember that. That was back when everybody started with AOL and Yahoo. So if you want to be the Avon lady or the Avon queen, you know, whatever it is, @gmail.com. That should be your moniker. That should be your email address so people can remember it. Remember who you are and what you do and who you do it for. So if you want my notes, you can put notes in the subject line and just send it to theonholdguy@gmail.com. Just like it sounds. It's not in Braille. It's real simple. And I'll send you my notes. I've got like 3 or 4 pages in Word of notes here that I put down for the notes for this call tonight. So The first thing I wanted to go over is, you know, answering your question. You can jump in any time and hit me over the head like Gibbs does on NCIS. You can hit me upside the back of the head, kind of virtually. So the title of this is Looking at Our Achievements and Building on Them. So it's funny, at church yesterday, not to get real preachy here, but at church yesterday, Pastor was talking about work decisions. And it's funny that he mentioned that King Solomon wrote 2 books in the Bible. And the Bible is there to educate us. The Bible is kind of like the Bible is an acronym. B-I-B-L-E stands for Basic Information Before Leaving Earth. And I think, I mean, that says it all. And the Bible is just basically a great book on how to be a better person on this planet. I don't care what religion you are. It's basic stuff. If we follow it, if we read it, you kind of have to crack it open. There's great information inside there. So King Solomon wrote two books, Ecclesiastes and Proverbs. And there's some great golden nuggets. Talk about golden nuggets. There's golden mountains inside there. So just to throw that out there, and I'll maybe come back to some of those things here. But first thing is I'm going to talk about some things that we're going to talk about achievements, but just something that came to mind that I wanted to, like, you were kind enough to send me the phone number tonight for the call. Well, that gave me something I wanted to talk about here real quick, is to make things easy on yourself. So, like, I really appreciate you. 505, you sent me the number through the phone call. Well, it goes back to, like, I knew I was going to need that number possibly again someday. It's like when you call somebody, when you make phone calls to people that you want to get them in the business or to be your customers, well, chances are they're going to call you back, or you're going to call them a second time. So when you put a phone number in your phone and you call somebody, tag it with their name. Because chances are you're going to call them again, or they're going to call you. And if they call you and you're busy and you see that number and you answer the phone and you say hello, you kind of sound like a dope. What I do is I'll tag the phone number with somebody's name. And because I can't see great, especially when the phone's in the car on the mount, on the dash, I put in capital letters. So people can actually see it. Okay, so like your number for the call, it's not your number, Pat. It says the Avon call. So that way all I had to do is search Avon in my iPhone, and it pops up, and hey, 30 seconds to 5:30 on any given Monday night, I've got your number at the tip of my tongue. There's the number. I just tap on it, yeah. I'm dialing. I don't have to be scrambling. I don't have to be searching through emails. Where the heck is that phone number? It's planted in my phone. It's in there.
I'm so glad you said that, because I was talking to one of the members of my team, Ellen Edwards, and we were saying, it really is a shame that we have to send out text messages for the call. I mean, this should automatically be, I'm
really
going to call on webinars throughout the week, and I put them in my calendar, so it will alarm me on my phone as well as the phone number, so I never have to call back or search through my emails or depend on someone to do. Because reason being, this is my business. I'm serious about my business, and I want to learn.
It's a business. Darn it, it's a business. And if you want an application that will help you on your iPhone with that kind of stuff, remind you on conference call, like if you have different conference call numbers, if you have different numbers, I got a cool app, and I'll look for it, and I'll reply back with the notes if you want to send me an email if you want my notes from the night. Yeah, it's a really cool app, and I got some other stuff in here too. But yeah, it's an awesome app for helping you remember all the different conference calls you've got. You know, I think it even throws them on your calendar as well. But that's another place to put them. If you set a repeater in your calendar for the call and the location, put the phone number. Because what will happen when you put the phone number in your iPhone, it'll underline it, and all you got to do is tap it, and it should call right. It'll dial right from your calendar. It'll dial that phone number.
Right.
So I'm glad
I'm glad
we talked about that. So tag numbers, make it easy on yourself.
Yeah, I have issues with my eyes as well, so I have to make things easier. So I have to
make it big.
Retype it because I'll mistype the numbers. Yeah.
So here's another point: you have to track everything. You can't remember what you've done. Okay, monitor your results. I don't know if this is Benjamin Franklin who said this or whoever it was, but I remembered it for decades and decades. The faintest pen is better than the best memory. Write stuff down. Write it down.
I like that. The faintest pen is better than the best memory. You're absolutely right.
Yes.
Love it.
Take a moment and look at what you've done. Okay, so business. In business, increase try to increase your business 5 to 10% every single month. Okay? All right. Business. All right. Okay. Number two. All right. So what you want to do is track your calls, track your daily calls, your contacts, your appointments, and your sales. I can tell you how many calls I made Friday. I can tell you how many I made Saturday. I worked Saturday. Yep. I made calls on Saturday because I can leave voicemail drops for people. Even though I know a lot of dentists, for what I do, they're not open on Saturday, but you can leave voicemail drops. And it's all about making the calls. And something I learned at church yesterday is, not to be preachy, but I'm not going to apologize for that, but this is so awesome, Pat. I learned it's like, so God is the God of yes. So God will say yes. And people say no. So you have to keep in mind that God is a God of yeses, even when people say no. So you got to keep on working hard and go after the yeses. So I made calls on Saturday. I didn't make any yes. I was planning on making calls yesterday, and I didn't do it. I made 50 today, and those will go on my calendar, and those also go on my contact manager because I track my daily calls because I want to see what my ratios are. Your ratios are how many dials you made, how many contacts you had, how many appointments you set, what were your sales. You have to know your ratios more so than your numbers. I'm not going to beat that to death. I beat that to death about 3 weeks ago, but your ratios are really important. Your number of contacts that got you, the dials, the contacts, the appointments, and the sales, you've got to know what your ratios are. So track those and write those down. If you're not making any, this is going to impact you and show you you're not making enough calls. And the idea is if you track your calls per hour, you'll be even that much better, that much stronger, because you can look at your sheet and go, I didn't do anything for 2 hours. You need to make 50 to 100 calls a day in order to reach. You have to reach that many people to get that many no's. If you're making 2 to 10 calls a day, I'm sorry, but I'm just here to tell you you're not in business. You're playing at whatever it is you're doing. You're playing at it. And Pat did not send me a check to tell me to say that to you, but that's just how it is. I talk to business people every day, and I ask them how many calls they're making. Because they show up at networking groups, and they hope that you're going to get business from going to those networking groups, and they're not making any calls. I mean, it's really sad, but you've got to do the work. The only place in that success comes before work, okay, is in the dictionary, not in real life. You've got to make the calls. You've got to drop the dimes or send the emails out. You have to talk to the people that are the people that you need to talk to, the appropriate person for whatever it is you're talking about. Okay, finances. Are you on a budget? Can you spend less than you did last month? Make it a goal. I came up with a really, really cool thing yesterday, Pat. I took a bunch of white pieces of paper and I folded them and I taped them and I put the different areas of money that I have and I put down the amounts I have per month. So as I was figuring out the money I had coming in the next 2 weeks, I would take those pieces of paper and turn them over. And I was tracking what I had to spend. And what was cool is, I had four pieces of paper left. It was only like $200 in outstanding money that I needed for the month of June, to pay my bills. And it was so refreshing to be able to turn over the stuff I had money for. And the ones that I owed, it was $200. It's like I'm in the black. And I could see that in front of me visually. And it was just, and I didn't, you don't have to reinvent the wheel and do these things every month. But it was a great game I came up with yesterday from doing my budget. It was so refreshing. So if you're on a budget, make everything a game. Make everything a game. Make your calls a game. Reward yourself. Watch a movie online or go to Redbox or whatever. If you do 10 or 20 calls, reward yourself with that achievement. Get yourself a $1.50 movie over at Redbox. I love movies, but I got to tell you, I'm not a proponent of going out and spending $20 at AMC and then another $20 on popcorn. Just doesn't work for me. Not to mention that little hacked off at the guy, Jerry Lopez, whatever his name is, that runs AMC. I had an article go out in a magazine in May where I live, and I know this guy lives there in a 23,000 square foot house. And I even put a little, you know, I told you guys a story about the $1,000 shoe. I put a little shoe with a little thing about the leukemia marathon on this guy's gate. He's got a gate in front of this like 150 foot driveway up to his house. This guy has a, like I said, a 23,000 square foot house. Didn't get a donation from the marathon. So I'm on a mission not to give this guy any money as far as income at the window to go see movies. If I don't have to spend money on movies, I won't do it. I'll spend them at Redbox for $1.50. So it's all about budgeting. I mean, you can go to Dollar Tree. You can buy three things of butter popcorn for $1. You know, it's just, It's about being smart. You know, talk about achievements. I mean, you don't have to go out and spend a ton of money. Okay, believe me, I'm the king of spending money. I won't tell you how much money I spent at the expo the day before the marathon last week ago, Saturday in San Diego. I mean, I'm stupid when it comes to spending money impulsively. I won't tell you what I did. You slapped me upside the head. But track your budget. Know what you're spending every day on everything you spend it on. And see if you can beat last month. Okay? See if you can beat it. Like, my goal is to try and do like $300 in food this month. I think I maybe spent $500 or $600 in food in May. Because it was stupid stuff, like you're out of town for 3 days, you spend $11 at the airport for food, which is stupid. You spend eleven dollars at a place for breakfast, which is stupid. But tracking it will show you what you've done so you can be aware of it. And that's the big thing with a budget, is you have to be aware of what you're spending. And you know, if you make it a goal not to spend any more than, well, I'm single, but for family, if you got a family of four, you know, you could go to Subway and eat out for $12 for a family of four. You know, you don't have to spend a lot of money. You can have breakfast for $3 or four per person. It's $12 breakfast at Subway. They have a deal now. You get a sandwich and a drink for $4 at Subway. And Subway is somewhat healthy. It's healthier than a Burger King or a Big Mac. But it's just a matter of having these things written down and knowing what your budget is. And track like a son of a gun. Track whatever it is. Okay, I use my iPhone like crazy. What I'll do is if I spend money on gas, I'll put it on my calendar. I'll put a dollar sign. I can show you how to use icons. A dollar sign. I'll put $60 in there. I'll put gas. And I'll put the time I spent the gas. So if I want to search for gas that I spent on my calendar, it'll show me all the gas expenditures will pop up. So I do the same thing with food. If I spend food at the grocery store or food in a restaurant, it'll pop up so I can see how much money I'm spending. Now, I have a goal. I try and not eat in restaurants as much as I can because it's a lot costlier because you're paying for labor. I try and buy my food at a restaurant, and have it at home just from the standpoint of, you know, watching my money. I make good money, but I'd rather have it at my wallet at the end of the month. Okay. Yeah, I have an old Asian girlfriend who used to say, it's very easy for my money to grow 8 feet. And she was totally right because, you know, I spend money like crazy. And it's stupid spending because it's impulsive. So track what you're spending. It'll make you spend less when you track it. And don't use credit cards. Use cash. David Ramsey has great – go ahead.
No, I agree with you 100%. And one of the things I really want to add to what you're saying is that a lot of our Avon representatives, you know, although we should buy items so that we can show our our guests, you know, our potential customers, but we should not be our own best customer, because I hear a lot of Avon representatives say to me that they're not making money. But yet they're ordering $500 or $600 or $1,000, and yet they're sitting at the same rate. But they're taking the money and they're buying just as much products as their customers.
That's a great point. Then what they have to do is you have to set a budget for what you're going to invest in your business every month, and don't go over that. Don't go goofy. Let's, you know, if you want to build your volume, let your customers build the volume for you. It's a team. Okay, keep in mind the concept of 1% of 100 people's efforts rather than 100% of your own. Let them buy your business. Let them build it for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they start doing that, let them budget it. That's a great point. Yeah, that's absolutely right. Yeah, do not spend a ton of money in your business. You have to know when to plan for it and when not to do that.
That's
like
right.
You just said, that was a great point. Don't be your own best customer. And put the credit cards away. Okay, Dave Ramsey has a thing that he teaches a lot through churches, and he also has a radio show. But what you do is you get some, and you don't go out and spend 30 or 40 bucks in this program. I'll teach it to you right now in a nutshell. Is, like I talked about, the envelopes that have the different categories that you're spending on. Get some envelopes, or you can actually make them just by taping white pieces of paper together. So you have money for food, money for gas, money for the cleaners. So you put that down on the envelope and you carry those in your purse. What you do is you have a budget. Let's say your budget's $500 or $600 a month for food and $400 for gas and whatever it is for cleaning. You put that amount of money at the beginning of the month into that envelope, and that's all you have to spend. If you blow your $500 on food, that's it. You're hungry the rest of the month. If you blow your $300 on gas, that's it. The car is staying in the garage. You're getting on your feet and you're walking. And if you blow $30 on the cleaners, sorry, but you got to wait till next month to do the deal. That's it. And that's what you do. You don't use credit cards. I'm not telling you to chop them up because you're going to need them for an emergency or something, or for your Avon order. But you keep them in a special drawer in the house, you know, in a cookie jar or whatever. You don't have them with you. They're for emergency only. You know, I don't have any credit card debt. I don't use credit cards. I spend cash on stuff. Because the idea is when you see the money come out of your wallet, and I love this. Now, those of you that are movie folks, you know, they always talk about dead presidents in movies, meaning dollars. Well, it's not exactly accurate, okay? Because Benjamin Franklin is on what bill? He's on the $100 bill. And Benjamin was a great guy. He had like three different careers in his lifetime. But the guy was never a president. So it's totally inaccurate when you talk about dead presidents, because Benjamin Franklin was a diplomat. So when you take the Benjamins out of your wallet or your purse and you pay stuff with your Benjamins or your dead presidents, it makes it hurt much more than the plastic credit card. There's no pain involved with that because, you know, it's not immediate. But you start taking Benjamin Franklin's out of your purse and paying for something, there's heartburn there. And it's immediate because you've got five of them. They're gorgeous, and you've got five of them in your purse, and they're all flat and smell new, and they're crisp. And you're going to buy something, and you take two of them out. Now you've only got three left. There's some pain involved. And that's why I want to illustrate to you, have that pain involved with buying stuff because your credit card doesn't do it. Ask yourself, you know, you need to invoke the 24 to 36-hour rule. Do I really need this? Is it mission critical? Okay. How huge is it? I bought a watch a week ago Saturday at the expo. I didn't need another watch. If I liked it, it was a heart rate monitor watch that you don't need to strap across your chest. It was kind of mission critical with seeing how much faster I can walk when I'm working out. I'm glad I got it. It made a lot of sense at the time, and it still does, even though I'm trying to rationalize. But it was something I got because I was in the moment. I got it, and it helped me with my race. But otherwise, you have to invoke the 24, the 36, or the 48-hour rule when it comes to money. And you have to track. Okay. Okay. So if you really want a reality check, here's a free movie for you, ladies. You'll love this. I don't know if you've seen this or not. It's called The Queen of Versailles. And you can watch this. It's on Bravo, like bits and pieces. But you can watch it for free on YouTube. I watched it last week. It's like an hour and 20 minutes. And this woman is married to this guy who was a bazillionaire in timeshares. He's the richest guy in the country in timeshare. And they were building a 90,000-square-foot house in Florida. I want to say Florida. So the economy went to hell, and it's 2008, and you know his economy and his income kind of went down. So they had this 90,000 square foot house. I won't tell you what happened, but it was the biggest house in the country, and they were building it, and it looked like Versailles outside of Paris in France. And these people like spend money like it's air, and just if you want a reality check on budgeting and stuff, you need to watch The Queen of Versailles. Just check that out.
Okay, well, thank you for that.
You bet. To me, it's life 101 stuff. That's what that movie illustrates to me, is life 101, how these people are about money, and just it's nuts. It's goofy. Okay, relationships. Okay. What can you do this week to impact your relationship? Okay. I've got a tip of the day for you. This is huge. I mean, if your relationship's a little bit wobbly, and I'm not the king of relationships, but I got a book for you. I want all you ladies to read. It'll cost you $4 to $8 to invest in this book. That means if it's not worth $1,000 or impacting your relationship with your spouse equivalent, or your kids, or the rest of your family, or even the people in your business, it's called the five love languages. Well, maybe not so much in your business, but your spouse equivalent for sure. It's called the five love languages, and it's terrific. It's a great book on we all have different love languages, and unfortunately we don't all communicate the same way. So you know, if you're somebody that likes to receive gifts, and your spouse equivalent to them, they tell you they love you all the time. Well, it's miscommunication for you. That's what this book will help you with. It could give you a stronger relationship if you don't have one right now. Or if you're dating, you're single, you know, help you to know what you like and what maybe the person you're going to be in a relationship likes too. So it's called The Five Love Languages. It's just an awesome book. You can get that on Amazon. I just checked on Amazon before the call, and it was anywhere from $4 to $8. You can get the Kindle version or the paperback.
Okay. Well, thanks for sharing.
You bet.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that offer. And we're at it's 9 o'clock. It's actually after 9 o'clock. So, is there any parting words would you like to share with the Avon reps who are on the call?
I would. Yeah, health. Okay. What I would like to say is, what are your goals for fitness, diet, weight, and it doesn't have to cost you money. Get out there on your feet, put on some shoes, and make some tracks in the street, and track them. Write it down every single day. There's an awesome app for your iPhone called Runkeeper. It's terrific. What it'll do is, Runkeeper will, if you want to learn how to walk a half marathon, it'll put you on a program for 4 months. They'll teach you how to do that. I can help you do that as well. You can do a marathon or a half marathon without being a runner. John's not a runner. I'm a walker. I can help you to do that. So I can coach you through a half marathon.
Okay. Well,
so we're out of clock, huh?
Yeah, we're out of time. And again, I thank you, John, so much for being very helpful and sharing all this wonderful information with the people on the call. I hope to have you on the call soon.
Thank you.
Thank you again, and congratulations with your marathon.
Thank you very much, Pat. Have a blessed day.
You too.
Bye, ladies. Live long and sponsor.